So Peter here is starting off his second epistle and just encouraging believers in Jesus Christ. And I know this will be a blessing. So beginning right at the beginning of the book here in chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So I'm going to take from the first verse and the fourth verse, and my title is From Precious Faith to Divine Nature. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts and lives to teach us, to grow us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to speak to every one of us, that we'd open our hearts and set aside this time now to hear from you and allow you to work in our lives. And Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and magnified. And so, Lord, we commit this to you. We want you to be pleased with our service. We want to honor you with our attention to your word and our worship of you. And may we leave changed today. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Apostle Peter here is encouraging us that if we're born again, as he says there in verse 1, we have obtained like precious faith. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you would agree that what God has given to you is precious. Amen. That you've been given the gift of salvation. You've been given eternal life. You've been given the hope of heaven. This like precious faith that we have all received. Notice it says there, through the righteousness of God. If you have the precious faith of Jesus Christ this morning, it's not because you earned it or you deserved it. It's because God gave it to you as a gift. And God is the one that made it possible through his righteousness. We had nothing to do with earning it or deserving it. And as he mentions there, through the righteousness of God, this precious faith that we have, we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The day you were born again, you were declared righteous through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And it's through his righteousness that we have received this precious faith. Hallelujah for the faith that we have. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. And I would hope that everyone in this room can say today, yes, I have received the faith. I have been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and have received this precious faith that God gives to those that ask. This precious faith, as I mentioned, is a gift. It's not something that you can earn. The Bible says that we're saved by grace. And the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn this faith. You cannot pay for it, no matter how much money you have. You cannot do enough good works, because we're all sinners. You must receive it as a gift. And this gift, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. It's that simple. And I would hope everyone could say, I have this precious faith. And this progression that we see in these four verses, going from precious faith to the divine nature, it is impossible outside of God's word. And I'll show you this. Look in verse 2, we see the word knowledge. In verse 3, we see the word knowledge. In verse 4, we see the word promises. All this knowledge and all these promises come from that book that you're holding in your hand. And it is through the word that we grow. During our Christian life, from the day we're saved until the day God takes us, we grow from this precious faith and into this divine nature that God has imparted to us, and we learn to live that nature and to live like Jesus would have us to live. But again, it's through His Word that this is possible. And that's what he means when he says there, later on in verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our and of Jesus our Lord." It's through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's salvation that we are multiplied, that we grow into this divine nature that God has made available to us. And so God's will is that we increase, constantly increase in our knowledge of God. Jesus said in John chapter 5, 39, "Search the Scriptures." Search the Scriptures. We're commanded by Jesus to search the Scriptures. Go to Matthew 11, 29, if you would. And Jesus here is talking about us growing and learning to live like Him. And again, look what He says, that it's impossible outside of His Word. Mark 11, or Matthew 11, 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. Where do we do this? Right here. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, exposing ourselves to the powerful Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. By studying His Word, by reading it, by meditating in it. That is how we learn of Jesus. And God says that He wants us to increase, to be multiplied in the knowledge of God, that we might learn to live this divine nature. That we're to be ever learning His Word. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2, 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow. It's all about growing. It's all about learning more and more about Jesus that we might grow to be more like Jesus. And that's God's goal for all of us. The Bible says in Romans 8, 29 that He's trying to conform us to the image of His Son. And it always, this conforming process always involves this precious book, God's Word. And so God's will is that we obviously receive this precious faith that He earned for us at Calvary by dying and rising again for us, but that we then begin to grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we might live the divine nature that has been imparted unto us. Go to 2 Peter 3:18 if you would, and we'll see this again. But it's God's will that we continue to grow in the knowledge of God. This is a command, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to grow in grace and we're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we become more like Jesus and learn to live this divine nature. This book, we could go on the rest of the morning talking about its power. Amen? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit. Only this book has that kind of power. But that power is not effective in our lives if we don't open it, if we don't read it, if we don't study it, if we don't expose ourselves to it. We can't just put it under our pillow and hope that it happens. It doesn't work like that. We're to be gaining this knowledge so that we might put it to use and live like Jesus. That's God's ultimate goal for each of us, is that we be like Jesus. So go back to our passage. The Bible says here in 2 Peter 1 that He wants us to receive the like precious faith through the righteousness of God, and that we are to be multiplied through the knowledge of God. And look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's exciting. But how does all that happen? How has the divine power give us all things? Look what it says. Through the what? Knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God's power provides everything that we need to live for Jesus. Christians who say, I can't do it, I can't live for Christ, it's not true. God has moved in. The Holy Spirit indwells you. God has given you His Word. God has promised He will never leave you nor forsake you. You have what you need. And that's what He's saying here. His divine power hath given you these things. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But it's through the knowledge that we grow. It's through the knowledge that we apply these things to our lives and become what God wants us to become. This divine power He talks about. In Sunday school, we just talked about God's omnipotence. That God is all-powerful. That's the power that's available to every single one of us. This power from Almighty God is now working in our lives. Think about that. And so a Christian who says, oh, I can't live for Jesus, they're saying that God's not powerful enough to change you, to conform you to the image of His Son, to make you more like Jesus. That's a ridiculous statement. It comes down to our stubborn hearts and us not allowing God to work in our lives. But God wants us to grow in the knowledge. Now, verse 4 of our passage, look what he says. Whereby, well, we know what the whereby is referring to. It's referring back to his word again. Are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Where do those promises come from? If you have a promise from God that's a blessing to you, that really means a lot to you, that you live, where did you get it? You got it out of God's Word, didn't you? There's no other place to get these great promises. These great and precious promises are available to each one of us, and they're part of this process that we might be partakers of the divine nature. As we gain the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word and begin to apply it to our lives, as we take hold and claim on these beautiful promises and make them part of our lives, we grow. So, let's stop 5 minutes. What's your favorite promise in the Bible? Raise your hand. If you don't have one, that's fine. But if you do, tell me what it is. Anybody? Does anybody have a promise in the Bible that means a lot to you? It's your special promise. Thank you, Kathy. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Brent?
That I'll be with them.
That one day we'll be with Jesus. That's right. He said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. Who else? Anything. Jackie?
My soul waits out only upon God, for my expectation is from Him.
Amen. Our expectation is from the Lord. Anybody else? Your favorite promise. It just means, Brother Shannon?
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose.
Amen. All things work together for good. Who else? What's my favorite promise? Come on. I'll give you 5 minutes. Yes, Susan? Amen. It's a gift from God. Trevor, did you put your hand up? I'll come again. Amen. And I saw a hand over here somewhere. Kathy? I never said you could have two. It's all right. I know. I've got more than one myself. I hope we all do. Yes? First Corinthians 10:13. The Lord is faithful, who would not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Amen? Who else?
God's been a place for us.
That's right. That's right. John 14. Anybody else have a promise that's special to them? You can just give the reference if you want. Anybody? Vinny?
James 14.
He will lift you up. Amen. Who else?
Joshua 1:9.
Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Love that one. Who else? Rachel?
Except passes all understanding.
Amen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anyone else? Last call, Shine. I'm sorry.
Philippians 4, 13.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Shine. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give thee an expected end. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. That's a beautiful one. Anybody else? Last call. I know Mrs. Scott's was Jeremiah 31:3, wasn't it? It says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto thee, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Last call. Could just give the reference, but Brother Matthew? Amen. That's the one that Shine just gave. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give the unexpected. Anybody else?
Revelation 21:4. You will wipe out every tear from their eyes.
Yep.
There will be no more mourning or outcry.
Amen. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying. The former things are passed away. Anybody else? Tanya.
Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid?
Amen. The strength of my life. Anybody? See, this is special, isn't it? These are God's promises, and they mean so much to us. And what God is saying is that He's given us these exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these, verse 4 of our passage, that by these, by what? By these promises, by God's Word, by gaining knowledge, by learning more about Jesus, learning more about God, making God's Word part of our lives, it's okay to make claim to promises, amen? Otherwise, God wouldn't have given them to us. We what? Might be partakers of the divine nature, which is what God is trying to do in each of our lives. Is to get us from that precious faith to where we're living the divine nature. The precious faith was a gift. It was handed to us. We didn't earn it. It's an event. Amen? It just happened the day we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's a one-time event. But then we have our Christian life. That's not an event. That's a process, isn't it? God growing us, God developing us, God purging us, as we read in John 15, removing things out of our lives that need to be removed and filling them with things that need to be there so that we might walk in the Spirit and, as we read here, be a partaker of the divine nature. This is what God wants for each of us. So go to Philippians 2:13 and we'll see that this is what God will do if we will avail ourselves of His knowledge, of His truth, of His promises. He will make us a partaker of the divine nature. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God who wants to work in us to accomplish what He wants through our lives. Remember, God originally created us for fellowship with Him, didn't He? Now, we lost that through the fall, but it's been restored through Jesus, through Calvary. And now God works in us, as we see, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's look at another one, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. Hebrews 13:21. So God wants us to partake of this divine nature. So Hebrews 13:20, and make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice God is constantly working in us. That's why we have trials. That's why we have life, if you will. God's in control of all of it. Like Brother Shannon mentioned, all things work together for good to them that love God, because God is working in us. And the number one ingredient is this. That's where we gain knowledge of the Lord. That's where we gain knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we find these exceeding great and precious promises that we can grab a hold of, because God is constantly working in us, that we, as we see in our passage, verse 4, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might live for Jesus. Now, this nature was imparted to us the day we were saved. That's why the Christian life is a battle from day on, isn't it? Because the old nature is still there too. The old nature has been crucified, but it's still hanging around. And so now you've got this battle. We read about it in Galatians 5:17. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." And so from the day we get saved, now we have two natures. Up until we got saved, we only had one. And that was a wicked nature, Satan's nature. That was it. He was our father, and sin was natural. But now we have a divine nature as well. And so these two natures are constantly at odds with one another. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to feed the divine nature. Amen. You've heard the analogy of the two dogs. If you haven't, it's kind of obvious, you know, if you've had these two dogs, one is the old nature, one is the new nature. And if they fight, which one's going to win? And the answer is the one that you feed the most. And that's true, isn't it? The one that you take care of, the one that you feed. So are we feeding the old nature, the old man, the sinful man, or are we feeding the divine nature with God's precious word and God's exceeding great and precious promises? Because this is what God wants for each of us. And look at the end of the passage here, 2 Peter 1:4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So remember, way back at the beginning, I said, if a Christian says he can't live for God, he's not telling the truth. Because God says we've already escaped the corruption. It's done. The day you were saved, you were rescued from that prison. You've escaped the corruption. Now, a lot of Christians want to still live in prison, live the corruption, but you've already escaped. And now God wants us to live practically what is already true doctrinally in our lives. And he wants us to live the divine nature. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I think somebody mentioned this one in their promises list. But look what it says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's that word escape again. God says that we've escaped the corruption. And he says that yes, the temptations will come in our lives, and they won't end until we leave this earth. But he also says that he'll give us a way of escape every single time. And that way of escape, of course, is him, isn't it? His power, his word, his nature. So the way is there. It's just that often we won't avail ourselves of it. We would rather live in the flesh. And you can't. The Bible says if you live in the flesh, you can't please God. So what God wants for every believer who has received this like precious faith, hallelujah, on the day you were born again, you receive the most precious gift ever given in the universe. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Bible says. The gift of salvation, this like precious faith. Now God wants to start working in your life. You're already his child. You're already going to heaven. But now he wants to start working in your life so that you might be a partaker of the divine nature. Which means, 1 John 2:6, let's turn there, which means that you will now live for Jesus Christ instead of yourself. Is it tough? Yes. Is it a battle? Absolutely. The devil doesn't want it to happen. The world is fighting us, and our own flesh is fighting us. But Jesus is stronger than the devil. He's stronger than the world, and he's stronger than your flesh. Remember that. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That's what God wants from each of us. If you're a born-again believer, God wants you to walk as Jesus walked. He wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature because you've already escaped the corruption. You've already escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now you can live the divine nature. And so many Christians are going to get to heaven and be so disappointed at what they missed out on. Because they just wouldn't feed themselves the Word, they wouldn't yield themselves to the Spirit, and they never availed themselves of this divine nature and lived for Jesus Christ, and they just wasted away the years that they could have served the Lord and walked like Jesus. And none of us are going to get to heaven and say, Lord, I just couldn't do it. We're not going to say that because we had God living in us, ready to help us each step of the way. We had God's Word. Hallelujah. We had those exceeding great and precious promises. So yes, we can do it. So let's do it. Let's live the divine nature. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you for speaking.